John Reford is a real globetrotter. Born in the UK, he spent 10 years in Syria, he's based in Turkey, and he's joining us today from Bulgaria. He's a photographer who has embraced his profession to the fullest. He was just 14 when he built his first darkroom at home. He built up his experience in the UK till he was ready to quit his day job, sell his house, and go freelance. You want to know what it takes to become a professional photographer? Well, you found the right podcast. Thank you, John, for agreeing to talk to my podcast, and welcome.
Well, thank you very much. Thank you for inviting me. I'm more than happy to talk to you.
John, I would love to know, have you always been a photographer?
Yes. I picked up a camera at around age 10. And since then, I left school. I was 15 and found a job at the local photographer's, actually a photographic shop. You know, one job after the other when I was younger until I went freelance as a photographer in 2003.
Wow. So it was so you knew from the beginning what you wanted to do in life. Is that right?
Yeah, pretty much. But, you know, when I was at school, it wasn't taken very seriously. And, you know, they sort of careers advisors and people like that were trying to sort of point me in different directions. But at around age 14, I think I wrote to every local photographer in our town. And one of them eventually replied and offered me a part-time job. And I managed to get permission to leave school a little bit early because I had a job. And so I did that. And yeah, so it was done and dusted. And I've never had any, you know, any other interest. You know, there was never any other sort of option really for me.
And what do you think that has inspired you most? Like, you had a camera for the first time in your hands and you said, yeah, I love photography. That's what I want to do.
Yeah, it's funny. I go back and think about that from time to time, you know, what was going through my mind. You know, honestly, I don't really remember. I think that I was more fascinated by the camera as a machine rather than its ability to make pictures. I was never artistic. And also I grew up in an environment that didn't really, you know, encourage kind of artistic pursuits in any way. And it was only much later that things changed. And, you know, I went from, you know, considering any picture that was technically correct as a good picture. But it didn't, you know, it didn't really, it could be a, you know, a bunch of flowers or fruit or something. And then at some point, I started taking pictures of rock bands. And because I was interested in the music as well, so it's when you start to combine the photography with something that you're interested in. So that worked out for a while. And then much later, I became interested in the Middle East. And then it took a completely new sort of trajectory, really. But in the early days, you know, I remember reading a book, taking books from the local libraries about, you know, physics and chemistry of photography and how the lens worked and things like that. Never really understanding any of it, but trying to study it because I figured that's what you needed to know. Even at school, I asked to study chemistry and physics, and which, you know, kind of surprised my teachers. I had no academic aptitude whatsoever, and you know, and of course it, you know, it's completely unnecessary.
Right. That's what I wanted to ask you. You haven't really studied photography. You've just done it initially at some photographer studio, right?
You know, really, I taught myself photography from library books, I guess, up until the age 15. And, you know, even I think when I was like 13 or 14 years old, I built a darkroom in my house. And at some point at school, they had kind of extracurricular photography classes. But by then, I already knew how to process and print my own pictures. So I was just using the school darkroom for my own illicit photography. And then when I went to work with the local photographers, then that kind of increased my knowledge. But it was mostly sort of kind of technical rather than sort of artistic in any way.
So what attracted you about the Middle East and what took you to Syria eventually?
It is kind of a series of different events. And it's only recently that I'm trying to sort of make sense of, you know, what came first. In 1990, there was the first Gulf War. And at the same time, I was, you know, kind of a bit lost really in my life in terms of, you know, direction and things like that. And I took a cheap package holiday to Egypt. There was a holiday program on TV and there was a map and all the countries in the Middle East were colored red for the danger zone. Egypt was colored pink, because it was just kind of on the edge. And because of that, of course, they couldn't sell package holidays, so they were giving them away. And that was as far away as I could travel for as cheap as I could afford, you know. Mm-hmm. And of course, then that was it was a package holiday, but I went backpacking. So I was introduced to that whole sort of budget travel, you know, way of thinking. And, you know, everywhere we went, everybody was talking about, you know, what was happening in the Middle East. And of course, I had no particular interest at that time and didn't really understand. And along the Red Sea, we could see, you know, warships anchored there. And so it just led me really to be more curious about what was going on in the Middle East. And also traveling around Egypt, you know, it was my first time outside of Europe. And from a photographic perspective, the subjects were much more colorful and exotic. And, you know, so this was quite, you know, inspiring for me. And so I went back to Egypt shortly after that and started, you know, getting a bit more interested. And it was just really one thing led to another.
And then you stayed 10 years in Syria. How has it been? How was your experience in Syria?
Interesting. So, you know, what happened was that every time I went to the Middle East, something would happen. I mean, there was always a story to come back with. It was just one of those kind of places that things happen. And I mean, obviously, you kind of, but I was taking time off from my work. So I only had limited amount of, sort of travel time. And it got to the point where I seemed to be missing out on opportunities. So I was meeting people, they were saying, we should do this, we should do that. And at the same time, the photography was changing, digital technology was being introduced. I was working as a darkroom technician. So I was working in a printing negatives onto paper, and sort of the old fashioned way. So it was time to change. And so I went freelance and, you know, I quit my job, sold my apartment and headed out to the Middle East. And I went to Damascus as a starting point and stayed. And it just, you know, it didn't seem like I'd been before and, you know, I enjoyed it. People were very nice. For me, it was always the friendliest of places that I'd visited up to that point. And it seemed like a good starting place, but it didn't seem like a very practical long-term solution. I didn't really have a long-term plan. I just thought I'd sort of travel around the Middle East really. But work-wise, one thing led to another and I quickly got work. And as a freelance photographer, that's not easy. You know, getting a foot in the door at the beginning is the hardest thing. But, you know, being in the right place at the right time. And the right place for me then was Syria, because there was another war in Iraq by then. I left the UK at the same time the invasion of Iraq, which was a nervous time for Syria. But there was another refugee situation where the refugees from Iraq were coming to Syria. So I started to cover that for different newspapers. Nobody was asking to see my portfolio or my experience or anything like that. They just said, you know, can you do this? Can you do that? Mm. And I said, yeah. So once you get a foot in the door, everything else becomes quite easy. And so I had commissions from all international media, ended up working for relief agencies, the UN, people like that.
Did you get your feelers out? Did you contact newspapers and the, you know, maybe organizations yourself? Or how was the first freelance job? How did it come?
I think that, I didn't contact anybody initially. I started to have a website designed by somebody locally and, you know, sort of got that up and running. And I think that was probably the main sort of point of contact. I think people just Googled, you know, photographer in Syria. And, you know, as a foreign photographer, I was pretty much the only one there at any sort of given time. And the, you know, I had a feeling in, you know, in the early 2000s that the Middle East for me was, it seemed like a pivotal moment in Middle Eastern history. A lot seemed to be happening. And as I went to Syria, as I said, the war in Iraq was happening. But then also the time that I spent in Syria, it, you know, the kind of news cycle went through these different phases. You could say it was kind of negative news and positive news, because Syria actually went through a period of time when, you know, tourism was booming and, you know, there was a lot of kind of investment and things like that. So as a photographer, I was kind of benefiting from whatever was happening, you know. So I was covering the refugee crisis when things were not going so well on the borders. And then I was photographing boutique hotels and doing travel stories and things like that in the better times. And then, of course, things changed again for the worse.
You were talking about being lost in direction in life at some point. How is the life of a photographer and with in general? Like, would you recommend the life of a photographer to someone who would love to be a photographer?
You know, I think you have to do what it is that you love to do. I mean, there's, you know, for me, that's kind of a no-brainer. You know, photography is a difficult career to make a comfortable living at. And, you know, I mean, there are different ways to do it. Photography is a broad subject, you know, from sort of weddings and commercial photography through journalism, etc. So it really depends on what you want to do. And I do like to live my life in a certain way. That brings a whole load of kind of, you know, difficulties, which for a lot of people, not something that they want to sustain for a long period of time. You know, it's it can be fun for a while, but, you know, financially, any freelancing is always, you know, a kind of an insecure financial situation. But, you know, ultimately, you know, I want to be out taking photographs. I don't want to be inside an office or, you know, chained to a corporation of some sort.
I hear you.
You know, that's it. And I think that there are things that I do, like stock photography, for example, which in the past used to be quite a profitable thing. Nowadays, the return has diminished to an appalling amount. And a lot of people say, you know, you can't make money out of stock photography or photography in general. You just have to look at other ways of kind of generating income. You know, nowadays, let's say landscape photographers, for example, the first thing a landscape photographer does is figure out how to get a YouTube channel up and running. And, you know, the photographers are not actually selling their images. You know, they're taking images and filming themselves taking the images and showing you the images and how they produce them, et cetera, but with no particular client. And the education and the channel is what sort of generates the income. So, you know, that's just one of, you know, different ways of thinking about how you fund or how you get an income from your photography.
Are you actually living your ideal life?
My ideal life would have a slight increase in its income.
Okay.
But yeah, I mean, my only complaint would be from a financial perspective. Absolutely, I'm living the life that I chose, which means that, you know, because of the risks of and insecurity and what have you, it means that when things are not going terribly well, it gets pretty difficult. But you have to accept that's the consequence. And you have to try to put in place some form of sort of insurance and protection, you know, against that, which is, you know, the first rule of any kind of freelance career anyway. But yeah, if I get paid for my photography and I'm taking the photographs that I want to take, you know, and in most cases, that's what happens. Rather than somebody saying, look, here's some money, go and take some photographs of such and such, it tends to work the other way around for me. And I'm particularly the last few years that, you know, that's the direction that I'm trying to go in. Rather than just accepting whatever commissions come my way, I prefer to shoot the stories that I want to shoot and find a way to sell them.
What is your favorite subject?
I don't know. I think people, definitely. And I feel that, you know, a lot of stories, you know, when you pitch an idea to a magazine or an outlet, you know, they want to know why they should publish it. And And usually it has to have this kind of like newsworthy angle, you know, why this story, why now? And sometimes, you know, people are just interesting. They have an interesting story for whatever reason, and even visually, you know, interesting. And I just feel that there are stories that don't really have an easy market that you can sort of find in sort of magazines and what have you. And it's those kind of stories that I like to take. And I think, you know, my blog is not terribly serious, but it, you know, the feedback I get from the things that I publish there is, you know, people enjoy those kind of stories. And when you travel as a photographer, you know, you have to meet people, you have to have contact with people. You can't really do things at a distance with the camera. So when you come into contact with people, and you know, you make a connection, and you know, I just feel that that's being able to tell those kinds of stories is what's rewarding. Having said that, I also get kind of peace, if you like, from taking sort of kind of landscape pictures and things like this, where you just get away from everything and, you know, just enjoy being in the landscape environment.
Between print and digital, where does your heart lie?
Well, you know, I remember when digital came along and we were sort of just kind of grasping what it really meant. You know, I said, so I could be like in the middle of the desert and just send the pictures back home and they could be printed and they can just send the money back to me. And I was, and you know, literally, because, you know, I was trying to figure out how to do the things that I wanted to do with bags of film costing a fortune and having to carry it and process it and, you know, do all that kind of stuff. And, you know, the idea of digital photography, that just seemed like an amazing thing. And that kind of helped push me to making the decision. But it also completely reduced the value of photography, you know, as well, and has continued to do so since then. So now, you know, I enjoy the benefits and ease of being able to take photographs in situations and send the pictures to wherever they need to go. You know, that's great. But the joy of using film and printing is something that has even more value now for me. And yeah, but if you're, as a photographer, if you're used to shooting digital and looking at the LCD screen and seeing the image on the back and checking everything's okay, and then you go back to shooting film and you can't do that anymore, and mm-hmm. you need to get it all right, you know, with one shot, it's a bit more challenging. And I think that I don't say one is better than the other, but for me, the value of film and traditional photography is much higher.
So if there is something that you can suggest or recommend to a young photographer, someone who really wants to make photography his or her career, what would you suggest to start? Where would you suggest to start?
I think you photograph what interests you. I think that's the most important thing, is to photograph subjects that you feel either connected to or you're interested in. I think that's one of the most important things. Other than that, I think it's a question of, you know, kind of practicalities of learning how to make the most of, you know, how you can earn a living from photography, if that's what you want to do. I don't think that you can enjoy photography without earning a living from it. You don't have to be a full-time professional photographer. You can be, you know, a very successful photographer and earn a living elsewhere. But if it's as a profession, then of course you need to combine your passion for photography with the practical elements. And that just needs a bit of research and thinking outside the box, I think, these days.
Have you been able to earn your life from photography from the very beginning? Or did you have to have side jobs?
I've always worked in photography, never anything else. And my first job was in a photographic shop, which I learned a lot from a technical perspective. And then I worked for local photographers that did weddings and portraits and a little bit of commercial work. And then I moved into the darkroom, which for me was one of the most rewarding things, because I then had the opportunity to to work with other photographers directly, processing and printing their work. So I learned through them. And also while I was shooting my own different projects, having the dark room as a, you know, available to me as well. So I had the best of both worlds for a long time, which was, you know, very rewarding until, you know, I felt that I needed to be taking photographs more. And that's when I went freelance. And as a freelancer, no, I've always earned from photography and never, you know, taken any other job other than photographically, you know, orientated jobs. I've done lots of photographic jobs that I didn't want to do. But.
Did you ever have to compromise between your creative calling and professional requirements?
Yeah, all the time. Yeah, I think when you work for clients, you know, particularly commercial clients, you have to compromise. You have to give the client what they're looking for. And sometimes when you work for a magazine, you know, you give them a selection of images to choose from and they choose all the wrong ones. But that's, yeah, you have to live with that. For me, photography is, you know, there's also another side to it. For me, initially, my travels to the Middle East, I wasn't going to take photographs. I was going to learn. And the camera just kind of gave me this kind of introduction and tool to learn with. And that hasn't changed, really. It's still, you know, the subjects that I'm photographing, I'm interested in them. And the photography gives me the opportunity to learn about the subjects. So I think, you know, that's quite important for me. And even some of the commercial work that I've done, which I do quite enjoy, photographing, for example, power stations and cement factories. I mean, I've had some of the most fun times photographing cement factories in the Middle East. So, you know, it's not always creatively rewarding, but the people you meet, the circumstances you find yourself in is rewarding. And there's something about working in the Middle East. You know, I've been in Egypt, for example, photographing power stations and sort of infrastructure projects like that. And when you go to meet whoever it is that you need to get the permission from, you always end up meeting the CEO of the company or the managing director, or, you know, you go right to the top. You know, you don't get sort of palmed off with a secretary with a signed bit of paper. And then the director wants to take you out for dinner and, you know, become your best friend. And, you know, it's just one thing leads to another. And you have this whole kind of experience. So, you know, I don't pin everything on the creative aspect of it. It's the experience of it, the experience of working in that part of the world as much as, you know, as much as this of the creative and the artistic angle, really.
Is there a new horizon for you besides for or after the Middle East?
I think that I'm kind of stuck in the Middle East. I mean, I'd like to see the rest of the world, but I like going back to the same places. You know, some people like to travel around and tick off as many different countries as possible. I like returning to places, and I enjoy that. And there's still lots in the Middle East that the more you learn about something, the more you want to be involved in different aspects of it. So it keeps me occupied. It's always interesting, lots of different reasons. I would like to go a bit further, but at the same time, you know, I'm still quite enjoying the Middle East. So, yeah.
And John, thank you so much. It's been a very nice conversation with you. And I'm sure that you've inspired quite a few photographers. And hopefully they will find their way like you did find yours. And I hope to talk to you soon.
Thank you very much.
Has John inspired you? Is there a particular job you'd like to hear about? Email me at jobtalespodcast@gmail.com. Leave a comment or message me on Facebook. I'm also looking for new inspirational people to have as guests on my podcast. If you want to inspire the world, reach out. See you very soon. Bye.